Welcome back to the Resonant Life Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Leela Doolittle, and today I am excited to solo host with you just to answer some FAQs that I've had throughout the years of my functional medicine, functional neurology practice. I have been able to work with many different types of complex cases and chronic illness cases where many of these patients have gone to other practitioners and they have tried to come up with solutions and answers to create sustainable changes in their system. Whenever they have complex diagnoses or disorders, it's important that we are able to unlock the mysteries by filling in all the different puzzle pieces in a way that helps us to truly establish a long-term and comprehensive and tailored approach that can help them to achieve their best health results and in a way that's sustainable, where they're able to incorporate it into their daily lives and a routine and a rhythm that works well for them. So what we want to do is co-create a functional medicine plan with them, something that they'll be able to add in the right components of what they need, what's important to them, what is it that they want to keep in their life, and then maybe we can find the best alternatives for it. If it's something that could be more toxic, it's some sort of type a food type that they really love and brings them a lot of joy, it's important that we're able to establish what is the most important things for them to really reduce in their life or take out of their daily habits, and maybe what is the best type of alternatives for those so that they still enjoy living the life that they love living, but in a way that works well with their system so that they're able to achieve and also maintain optimal wellness. So, what we're going to do is just lay the foundation by me asking or answering a few of these questions that have been asked throughout the years. So let's first start with just laying the foundation of what it is to define functional medicine, functional neurology, and how these approaches differ from traditional healthcare. Functional refers to restoring function. So we're optimizing how each system of the body is functioning, and we want to really focus on what it is that's going to contribute the most to this restoration of function. Like, for example, are there any root causes, underlying issues that can be contributing to a lack of function or an alteration in function? And if so, then are we able to add in the right components, maybe through supplements or dietary changes or a lifestyle approach, a movement type of approach, to help with restoring the optimal function? If you think about physiologically how every cell in the body has a type of function, and if we can just unlock the right coding to allow for those cells to do their job properly, for the organs to be able to perform their function and work together in harmony, then we're able to restore this beautiful balance in the system to where every system of the body, every organ system is able to communicate properly. It's able to perform its job and be stimulated and activated by other types of hormones or neurotransmitters. The communication signals in the body are able to communicate to various places whenever they're turned out, whenever they're actually created with the right building blocks in place. So that's like a way that we can think about the comprehensive and complex ideas of what is functional medicine. And then with functional neurology, it's a very comprehensive and complex way of thinking about the nervous system. And if I say complex, it just means there's many different types of complexities, like factors that play a role. And we want to think about all of these different factors that are stimulating or activating or allowing for optimal function of the nervous system. Not meaning complex as in it's so complicated that it's difficult to figure out how to work with the nervous system in a functional way. That's not it at all. It's actually very simple. We are able to incorporate in certain types of exercises that can stimulate the cranial nerves, or different types of lobes of the brain that have certain functions. We're able to add in exercises to stimulate neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is this term that we refer to in functional neurology, where the brain is constantly changing, it's ever evolving. And either it's pruning out the types of neural connections that it no longer needs or uses anymore, or it's adding in and rapidly stimulating the like synapses and creating these little connections, these communication connections between neurons. And that's how the brain, the nervous system, and the central nervous system, as well as peripheral nervous systems, are all able to work together in a way that supports the health of the body. And one of the most important connections between the nervous system overall and the functional medicine aspects of health is the autonomic nervous system. This is a way that we reference the sympathetics versus parasympathetics, the polyvagal theory. You may have heard some of these terms, just meaning how healthy is the nervous system? How regulated is it? How resilient is it? Is it able to keep up with a toxic burden bucket? Is it able to keep up with stressors that may come into someone's life? Is your nervous system regulated to the point that whenever you do have stress, it's able to rapidly shift itself back into that rest, digest, regenerate parasympathetic function rather than staying in that fight, flight, or freeze mode, which is more sympathetics? So that's that autonomic nervous system. And whenever you think about it, that obviously plays a role in every organ system within the body. So that's that connection with the functional medicine. And that's the reason why it is so important that we think about the health of every one of our cases as a complex and complete type of system where everything works together. And we can't just focus in, like traditional medicine, oftentimes there's a cardiologist that just focuses on the heart. There's a neurologist only focusing on the brain. There's a nephrologist focuses on the kidneys. And that is very important that you have specialists in certain types of cases, of course. And it's wonderful to be able to also have a functional medicine approach to where we bring everything back together and we think about the system as a whole and how it's impacting everything else and think about the intricacies and interplay between these various systems of the body. And that way we can restore optimal function sustainably and in a whole system, holistic type of way. So that's the whole person type of healing that's in functional medicine. And then the other very important factor that we think of in functional medicine is always going back to root causes. So we want to understand what's actually the contributing factors to health concerns. Like, what are symptoms? It's a way that the body is actually raising a red flag saying, can we focus on something that we need to restore, like a physiological function that is not working properly for some reason? And there are symptoms that are created as the body's way of expressing and communicating to us that it needs some support, that it needs some stabilization, and maybe we need to add in certain factors and alter some things in our lifestyle approach, maybe some functional medicine approach, food as medicine. Food as medicine is our fuel sources, and are we providing those proper fuel sources, those building blocks for all the communication signals and the neurophysiological pathways in the system, or are we able to provide the body with exactly what it needs to build those hormones, build the way that the organs are able to interact and communicate together? And whenever we have imbalances in that, then that's where it can lead to symptoms. And that's where we go past the symptoms and go down to what's the root cause. We want to understand what are the different factors of root causes. So it could be that there's something that happens ahead of time and it's just kind of like a maybe epigenetic factor that can be primed and ready to create dysfunction whenever there's enough stress, there are enough toxins in the toxic burden. Maybe there's enough overwhelm to the system that it's just not functioning like it needs to, or it can't function like it needs to because there's not the building blocks that it needs to create the communication signals. And so then that's where we have the like type of factors that may have already been there dormant that then are activated and creates or contributes to health concerns. So that's one way that we think about it. And then we also think about mediators, what's ongoing activator responses that can continue to either contribute to dysfunction, disease, or to how our system just is not able to create the proper types of functional communication and connections. And what that is like is maybe if someone has a habit of liking sugar at night and they want to eat there and consume chocolates and sugars and candies or whatever, and it just starts to overwhelm the body over time, physiologically, maybe the pancreas isn't able to keep up with the insulin and the regulation of glucose, and it starts to affect the metabolism and affects how the every organ in the body is playing a role in trying to burn this fuel and trying to still go into a deep, healthy physiological sleep at night. And it could be affecting the blood sugar regulation. So then there's a waking up at night. And then the next symptoms that ensue is whenever someone's not sleeping, it can lead to a cascade of different types of functional issues because the body's not able to rest, relax, regenerate at night like it needs to if it's in a deep, stable sleep. And so that's an example of how that's a mediator, and that's a lifestyle choice or a habit that can continue to affect physiological function. And that's not to say you can't enjoy a little bit of sugar and healthy types of alternatives maybe to something, but it just is a way that we can in functional medicine highlight for someone how to choose the healthier alternative so it doesn't crush the blood sugar as much, how to maybe shift that to a different time of the day so that the body's able to regulate it, and how to eat or consume the healthier forms of the sugar in the presence of protein so that it stabilizes blood sugar a little bit more. Maybe we need to go into a protocol of 3 to 4 months of working with some supplements like berberine to help with the pancreas secreting the right levels of insulin and regulates the glucose then in a better way. There are many different factors that we would potentially go into in functional medicine to restore the optimal function in this type of case study. But you see how mediators can affect health in an ongoing cascade, and maybe it's sustainable for a bit, maybe the body can keep up with it for a while, but when that big stressor trigger happens, then potentially that's what starts blocking up more physiological pathways, and it creates like a cascade of issues and symptoms that then it's like that one event just created this spiral for the body. And so these are the ancillary type of pathways that then we think about in functional medicine as, let's go back to root causes. What's the true root cause? That's the mediator, the trigger, maybe the factors that played a role before, and epigenetically we're just primed, and then we just try to restore optimal function throughout all the systems by adding in and incorporating lifestyle factors, food as medicine, dietary approaches, certain types of nervous system exercises and therapies and things like that. Now, there's also a very interesting connection between the brain and the body. Of course, we think about like the brain and gut axis in a way that's very easy to imagine. So let me paint you a picture for how we have barriers around many of our systems to protect it against toxins. So for example, the gut, we have the GI tract, gastrointestinal tract. It starts in the mouth. It starts with as early as our salivary glands in our mouth, and then all the way down the esophagus to the stomach, and then into the small intestines. We have a couple of valves that help out with some of this function to make sure that the food that you eat, the food that you consume, it's able to have some of that breakdown and the digestion that happens within the stomach. And then it's able to open up that ileocecal valve and get converted in and pushed into these small intestines where more absorption, the maximal amount of absorption actually occurs there in the small intestines. So crucial for us absorbing all those building blocks from these fuel sources that we're consuming. And then the small intestines also reabsorbs a lot of your water for hydration. And that's an important factor to make sure that you have plenty of the hydration throughout your system, as we're 70% water. And the small intestines then is able to, when it's ready, push the food along into large intestines. And there's a lot of detoxification pathways that are working and trying to detox out whatever it is that might be in those food sources. And that's where the liver and the kidneys are involved, and the gallbladder is secreting in some of the digestive enzymes for lipase, for helping us with breaking down fats, and the bile acids are helping us with breaking down some of the like more fats and oils and things. And then we have the pancreas that's constantly secreting the right amount of digestive enzymes, and it's all this amazing interplay that happens every single time that you eat. And this peristalsis, the squeezing effect that happens throughout the GI tract, that's where we have the motoric complex. So this is like actual smooth muscles that are working in this way that it's like these undulating movements that are very beautiful, smooth motor movements, and that helps break down foods. So very important that you chew at least 40 times every single bite, because that plays a big role in helping you with whenever the peristalsis is happening, you're actually absorbing more of your nutrients rather than just trying to mechanically continue breaking down the food that was left unchewed. And then there might be undigested types of foods that just pass right through you, go out into your stool, and you're not absorbing that maximal amount of those nutrients and fuel sources and building blocks like you need to. And so gastrointestinal tract, think about how amazing the physiology is of these complex types of processes just every single time you put some food in your mouth. And also within the GI tract, we have a lining of the stomach and all the way through the small intestines, colon, and within that lining, it's very important that it's sealed up and protecting as a barrier and making sure that anything that is consumed, it goes through the GI tract and passes through the other side and doesn't leak into abdominal areas, which I say that loosely because leaky gut, it's not only just like that. Typically what happens with leaky gut is there's a lot of inflammation around the GI tract because there may have been some toxicities that have played a role in how the organs are able to function. So like, for example, in the stomach, we may have had certain types of high levels of glyphosates and other toxins, some pesticides, fertilizer, sprays. These toxins just get built up on the food, and our body is supposed to harbor and balance and protect against these types of toxins. And it does this with these gatekeepers, these gate cells that are called the zonulin proteins. And zonulin proteins, they're like these gates that sometimes start to open whenever there's a lot of damage over time that starts happening to the GI tract. So it's important that we're healing and sealing up the zonulin proteins to keep tight junction. And that's where we won't have leaky gut type symptoms like bloating and GI issues and maybe even feeling heavy and like we're not able to digest after a meal, maybe for a couple of like 30 minutes to an hour afterwards. We feel like our system's just working really hard on breaking down the food. And oftentimes we notice that with bloating, there also is an interesting connection to brain fog. And the reason for that is because of the gut-brain axis. So we have this gut-blood barrier that's protecting us. And whenever that starts to open and is no longer as tight and sealed up as it should be, then we can actually have inflammation that happens systemically, meaning it's throughout the entire body. And we have this very interesting connection to the brain, from the brain to the GI tract, and it's called the vagus nerve. This is your cranial nerve 10, and that vagus nerve is one of the factors that plays a role within the nervous system, in addition to the enteric nervous system, that tells your abdominal organs how to function, communicates to your system to really allow for optimizing the function, and it's in conjunction with the autonomic nervous system. So that's back to that parasympathetic and sympathetic pathway, that there's this right balance, and our autonomic nervous system is what helps us with that resilience. And if you think about it, if you're in sympathetic overdrive, your system is going to be focusing on just fighting the bear or running away from whatever it is that's the big stressor, not focusing on resting, digesting, and regenerating. And so that's where the vagus nerve is not able to send those communication signals to allow for proper enteric nervous system. Whenever you're stressed, think about it, you feel it in the gut. And sometimes it's hard to eat during that time that you're stressed. Your body doesn't digest as quickly or as well. That's oftentimes one of the factors that will play a role in how much of those communication pathways and those fuel sources, those building blocks, do we have. So many different ways that are this multifactorial type of sense of connection between the gut-brain axis can be affected. Going back to the concept of barriers, we talk about this gut-blood barrier and how important it is that it's sealed up And then we have this vagus nerve that's connecting the enteric nervous system and the ways that our abdominal organs, including our gastrointestinal tract, is all getting communication from the nervous system to function optimally. And if we're having inflammation systemically in the body, leaky gut symptoms, some bloating and indigestion type of symptoms, we oftentimes will see that there's brain fog present too. Brain fog is this term that we'll reference as symptom where it's like you're not having as much clarity of thought. You're not able to focus or concentrate as much as you'd want to, or you don't feel like yourself. You don't feel like you're as powerful mentally or neurologically or consciously as you want to be. And it can be secondary or side effect of inflammation in the system and leaky gut, leaky brain, that type of symptom issue from overall inflammation throughout your entire body. So we decrease inflammation, help to heal and seal the gut blood barrier, heal and seal blood brain barrier, protect every one of these beautiful and incredible organ systems from all of the effects that can happen with many different toxins in the system and many different inflammatory issues that can ensue with leaky gut or leaky brain. So oftentimes, what happens is there are many different root causes that could just be dormant in our system. Maybe our system has been resilient for a while, and then stress, the physiological effects of stress hit the system. And it's amazing how chronic stress can just disrupt the entire nervous system. Definitely, there's a role to play in that autonomic nervous system and the polyvagal theory, the vagus nerve, and how the body is able to send those communication signals to the rest of the system, and then the nervous system is able to communicate to the organs on how it needs to optimize, shift, and alter the focus. Especially if you're in chronic stress, your system just keeps on sending out all these cortisol signals from the adrenals that just go into protective type mode, and it makes it where your system is not able to recover or to restore that regenerative type function. And that's where we will have a shutdown of many different factors that are your protective factors, such as your detox pathways. Your liver actually takes up a lot of energy, a lot of fuel sources. Whenever you're in the middle of a stronger detox, like actually activating detox through supplements and through herbs, you actually can burn through up to 70% of your fuel sources, of all the energy sources that you're taking in and consuming. Your liver can actually use those fuel sources to try to get rid of toxins and actively clear your toxic burden bucket. A toxic burden bucket is how we reference whenever there's so many toxins that just get stocked up over time, just factored in from all of the different lifestyle factors, maybe your dietary habits, maybe it could be from just things that you're putting on your face or on your skin. It could also just be from around you and the air that you're breathing or the water that you're drinking. And all of these toxins just build up over time and start to overwhelm the body, overwhelm the system. And so it's so important that we are playing a role in how the body is able to clear out those toxins and make sure that we're able to drain out those toxins through detox pathways and drainage pathways, getting them out of our body. And so detox pathways, we think about the liver, the gallbladder, the kidneys, and how your system is flushing and clearing those toxins out and actually helping to conjugate them, break them down, clear them from your body. And it usually clears up through urination or through bowel movements. And those are two of your main types of drainage pathways. Another one is your lymphatic system and your sweat glands to be able to help you to sweat out the toxins and clear them from your body. And this clears from all the different tissues within the system. And it's very important that we have all the right factors in place to keep these drainage pathways open and optimize this detox. And so we have to figure out a way to get our system to a place where it's not stressed out and overwhelmed, and our autonomic nervous system is not out of balance, and our body is then able to go into that regeneration, that health, that optimal function where it's able to continue its detoxification and keeping up with that toxic burden pocket. Those are some of the most important ways that stress can impact the nervous system and impact the body. And we also think about how stress overall can influence every single gland. Every gland that should be building you the right levels of hormones for the communication signals. Your thyroid is supposed to help with building all of those thyroid hormones to help out with your metabolism, to help with actually breaking down and burning the fuel sources that are coming into your system properly. If it's not, if it's out of balance, then metabolically, we'll have that altered. And there's also a connection to your adrenals. And the adrenals are what gives you energy to go throughout your day. That's what's supposed to help with balancing the regulation and the rhythm of cortisol. And whenever adrenals get thrown out of balance, then we start crashing. We get chronic fatigue. We're no longer feeling well. We're not sleeping as well. We're not going into that deep regenerative sleep like we should. And the ovaries or the testes, these are what's supposed to secrete the sex hormones. And this is oftentimes where this cascade can play such a big role in us having symptoms that are around like menstrual issues, maybe irregular menstruation. We're not having as regular of cycles as females. And then that affects the detox pathways of how your body's supposed to detox out estrogen metabolites and some of these different hormone metabolites that need to get out of your body. And then whenever these hormones get imbalanced, we also have the feedback approach of where these hormones can actually affect the master glands of the brain. And we have two master glands that actually communicate to the thyroid, to the adrenals, to the ovaries and the testes with the stimulating hormones. And these are the pituitary and hypothalamus glands. These glands are supposed to help us with the right communication signals, the right stimulation and regulatory signals to create the proper balance. And every single gland that is building and producing hormones in your body, these glands are very dependent on rhythms. Circadian rhythm is one of the ways that we have like a timetable throughout the day, throughout a 24-hour period, our brain and our adrenal system is supposed to keep up with this type of circadian rhythm that regulates and balances energy systems in the body. The pancreas that secretes one of your hormones called insulin for the proper storage of glucose, which is like one of the fuel sources ways that we're referencing with any foods that you take in, that's how your body is actually storing the fuel in the cells and helps to regulate how that glucose is released. Like we get the glucose stored up in these little molecules that then it's supposed to release in a very sustainable way. And that's what keeps you from having big blood sugar spikes and drops, dips. And this is also very dependent on circadian rhythm. So these rhythms of your body and the hormones and the ways that they're getting produced, it's very important that we have this very beautiful like symphony of approach of how the rhythms are actually regulated and how your system is able to create that right balance. What's one of the most important things that you can do for your circadian rhythm? It is actually light. Light can activate your pineal gland. It can help your system to take in information about what the time of the day is. Evolutionarily, we've been waking up with the sunshine, going to sleep whenever the sun goes down, you know, just regulating ourselves in our nervous systems with these regular cycles and rhythms of our earth and our sun. And our own bodies play a role in the circadian rhythm by regulating according to what types of light our bodies are taking in. And oftentimes, all of this artificial light that we spend time in whenever we're in office buildings or we're looking at our phones or our computers long term, and it's just so, it is artificial. It's so unusual to our nervous system. And our nervous systems have a difficult time trying to balance out what that circadian rhythm and regulation should be like. And so that's why it's so important to make sure that you're taking plenty of time for natural sunlight, natural lighting, and make sure that you do control as much of the artificial light you're able to take it down as you can, and also just regulate how much you're spending time on technology. And if you are, then maybe regulate the blue lights that are on that. You can use some conversion factors to keep it in a more golden or like orange type of lighting, and that helps to make it where the nervous system isn't too dysregulated. And then make sure that you're getting outside and following that biorhythm of your circadian rhythm by activating your own eyes with the sunrise and with the sunset. And so that's also a great opportunity for you to get into a very healthy habit of getting outside early in the morning and maybe taking a little mindfulness time, doing some breath work or some journaling, just helping your system to get into that regulatory level. And it's so important that you're also just finding time for nature. So that gives that circadian rhythm that reprieve, that you're no longer in that big stress response or constantly just waking up straight to the like rat race of daily life. You're instead taking a little time for your own system to regulate, taking time to be intentional with yourself, intentional with your health and with your habits. And you're finding those opportunities to find that peace in your life. So important that we find time to just know that your nervous system, your body, every organ system, every gland, every hormone, every regulatory system of your detox pathways, drainage pathways, it's all working in these beautiful interplays and it's all very connected. And your system knows how to heal, it knows how to regulate itself. And we just need to add in the right types of factors, maybe just add in a little bit of a nutritional approach, a supplement approach. Add in some exercises or some daily habits that can actually play a big role in how your system can reset and regenerate. Add in certain types of movement patterns, movement exercises and stretching and flows that help your system to activate the glands. There are certain types of even Qigong flow. This is where we can activate the energy systems within the body, the electrical patterns of how your body is regulating. We have meridians that run throughout our entire body, kind of like the like blood vessels and the connection of the cardiovascular system or the lymphatic system, the lymphatic channels, and how those run throughout the body. The nervous system, we have all these neurons and nerves that run between the muscles and between the fascia. Well, same thing for these meridian channels. This is where the energy, the qi that is referenced in traditional Chinese medicine, that's how that energy flows throughout the system. And we can actually create a very beautiful activation and balancing effect to how the electrical energy flows throughout the body and activates and stimulates the glands. There are some types of beautiful energy systems and energy medicines that reference it as a liquid light. It's this beautiful liquid light that can actually help activate the glands in a way that creates this impact of these biorhythms sinking back into place and like really synchronizing the harmonics of the bioharmonic frequencies. And these are the vibrational frequencies that are within every single cell. We have microfilaments within the cells that have a specific type of vibrational pattern, a frequency pattern, and those are resonating at certain levels according to what types of biofeedback responses it's getting from other cells and other organ systems. And we can actually activate this liquid light within these electrical energy centers and help to stimulate and balance that bioharmonic frequency within each of your cells and glands. And this is how the communication signals then and the interplay between each of your organ systems that are so ready to be in a perfect state of balance of health, wellness, and vitality, you're able to get to that level, perfect health. So I am so excited to share all of this with you and to see how we can work together. If ever you know of anybody that came up in your minds while I was talking that could benefit from some functional medicine or functional neurology care, some of these bioenergetic therapies, and if you are interested in learning more and learning how to incorporate into your daily lifestyle some of these nutritional or lifestyle factors, some of these exercises that can be incredibly and abundantly healing for you, I would love to share it with you. This is what we've created at Resonance Wellness. And after 7 years of practice, I've had the opportunity to see so many different cases have huge and incredible transformational results. And it brings me so much joy to know that I can be an inspiration to each and every one of you to hopefully help you to live the most beautiful life of your dreams, with the optimal wellness of your dreams, and to make sure that you have everything that you need in your life to be at a state of your fullest self-expression without the limitations that health concerns can bring in. Sending you all a big hug, and thank you so much for listening. Please feel free to drop your questions in every 10 episodes or so, I'll be making sure that I take an opportunity for one of these solo episodes, and that way I can answer all of your questions and go into more details on any types of topics that you would like to hear about. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for a little bonus at the end of this episode. As I was talking about functional medicine and functional neurology approaches, I was very inspired to share some inspiration around children's health, and particularly around immune system regulation and neurological health. And so hopefully you're inspired by it. Check out the resources that I'm referencing, because they are amazing compilation of some of my favorite recipes and alternatives that you can try out. And I've written plenty of information in certain blog posts and ebooks and things like that for you to be set up for success and feel empowered during this season. I hope you enjoy. I am so excited to share with you a little bit of information regarding children's health and how important the topic it is during the time that there are so many different sweets and candies and sugars in the holiday season, and Halloween kicks it off with so many different temptations. And so let's talk about immune system health for autumn activation of immune systems to really protect and create the resilience for families in general. It's not just children, it's also the entire family want to protect their immune systems. And then let's talk about the impact that candy and sugar can have on their little systems. And I want to make sure that it's not from fear-based approach, it's more of empowerment. And I want to provide you with alternatives and different options that you can incorporate in to keep them healthy. So let's talk about candy and food coloring and how much of an impact this can have on your children's health. I know each parent, the most important thing in their lives is to ensure that their child grows up healthy and strong. And yes, that's a top priority. And it's so important to find the right balance, especially whenever they're in school, they're in little programs that maybe the kids around them aren't as healthy as them and they want to participate, they want to enjoy that little treat. And so it's important to think about how can we provide some alternatives that are a healthier way that your child can get some enjoyment in life rather than from a toxic source. And so we, of course, know the importance of balanced diet, sleep, and exercise, but some of these hidden factors of food choices can have lasting effects on children's immune systems and overall well-being. It affects the nervous system. It can actually create a large amount of inflammation within the nervous system, and that's oftentimes why you'll see after consuming candy, especially if there's food coloring in it, which is a toxic neurotoxin itself, like red 40, yellow dye, like these types of things, they are so toxic to the nervous system that they actually create a lot of excitotoxicity within the neurons, within the neural synapses. Hence, many times parents will notice that their children, their behavior will change after they've consumed toxic candies. The immune system, it's one of the body's defense mechanisms that protect it. And it's very important that there is plenty of energy present, healthy energy present for the immune system to function optimally. So we oftentimes will see a correlation with as sugar intake goes up, as food coloring, as all the candies and sources around fall and winter, around the holiday season goes up, well, then it can actually play a role in the overall immune systems and tanking those immune systems. And especially in children, the immune system is developing. It's still developing its own natural killer responses and like how it's able to protect and to create the resilience of different types of immune cells from the thymus gland and from these other immune factors that play a role, these organ systems that are all working together to build a healthy immune response. It's interesting because these immune systems would be more susceptible to infections and illnesses if it doesn't have the right types of nutrition to build those immune system factors. And when kids are consuming all these rich vitamins, minerals, nutrients, and phytonutrient type rich meals and foods, where it's like rainbow type foods from healthy vegetables and fruits, and also important for like the balance of the animal proteins and such, but from whole food, whole sources, rather than what's broken down and synthesized and man-made, the fuel sources that goes to these children's immune systems and the brains, well, that's what helps them to live as healthy as possible and optimally as possible, while also they're growing and developing these various organ systems. So they're able to form the communication signals within the nervous system, within the immune system. They're able to build and differentiate all the different types of immune cells that they need. And of course, it's very easy for the immune system then to fight off germs and germs of the biotoxins, you know, different types of bacteria or molds that they're exposed to, or even viruses that just the viruses are also just prions that can actually affect the immune system and give the immune system some sort of trigger to then it's distracted and it's the tendency to create a defense system. So there's so many different ways that we want to help protect against the inflammation, allergies, the immune system compromises, and protect the nervous system to regulate behavior and to regulate how the nervous system is able to create that proper balance and make sure that there isn't a cascade, like a trigger cascade that can happen from sugar rushes or from neurotoxins, from food coloring that gets added into their diet. Or maybe, you know, around Halloween, they are consuming more sugars, or even, you know, around Easter, they get these Easter baskets. So they'll just consume so many different types of sugars and candies, and it just overwhelms their system. And I think we're all tempted by that too as adults, just around the holiday season, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's so delicious to have a wonderful pie. And it's also important to think and know that you can have an amazing texture, flavor, sense of all of your favorite types of treats and desserts from healthier sources, from more natural sources that don't create vulnerabilities and illnesses in the immune system and compromises to our nervous system. So as we're going into the season where we want to protect our bodies, protect our immune system and our nervous system, let's make sure that we're adding in all the right alternatives and giving you plenty of resources to set you up for success with this. I am very inspired to help guide you in this. So make sure that you check out some of these resources that we are building for you all and putting out. We'll have recipes and lists that my team and I have worked on putting together for you. And specifically, they are tried and true for delicious and incredible flavors and textures. Textures are very important to me. That's because the nervous system actually gets activated by certain types of textures on the sensory fibers of the tongue. We have several different cranial nerves that go to the tongue, and it perceives the touch and perceives texture. So that's very interesting. And that's one of the wonderful things that we can incorporate in with delicious recipes and desserts and treats. And so hopefully you can try out some of these. I hope you're inspired. And I hope that you have an incredible holiday season with you and your family. And you all enjoy all of the wonderful blessings of being around family and being in the midst of this beautiful energy that's so cozy and warming and inviting, and enjoy making those choices that will help you to truly have a great season.